Hi, I'm Megan Hillica, a grieving mother turned grief coach. I now support, guide, and offer tools to navigate the unthinkable of child loss to other moms who also know this pain. I help you go from empty, lost, and broken to learning to carry your grief and live alongside it. If there's one thing I want you to see, it's hope. Hope that there's life after loss. Hope that there's so much more for you. And encouragement that you're normal. All of this is possible, along with never forgetting or moving on from your baby or child. I'm holding on to hope for you until you are ready to hold it yourself. Welcome to Grieving Moms Podcast. Hey, this is Megan here. Before we dive into today's episode, I just want to say I'm splitting this episode into two parts because my guest was so easy to interview, and I don't even know if we covered any of the questions that I had kind of brought, or she answered some of them without me even asking them. So she was such an easy interview, and we ended up talking for a long time. So I'm going to split it up into two parts, and then you'll get to listen to both parts. I introduced her in the intro. Her name is Haley, or Hales, and she's from Hey Lost Mama Community on Instagram. Another thing is that my kids kept interrupting us, so I edited most of it out, but there is one section where my kids did come kind of interrupt us. I just kind of wanted to show you what real life is for me as a podcaster with a family and working with grief and having my daughter die too. So I hope you enjoy this episode. One last thing, I do have a free video called The Best Way to Ease the Pain of Grief. If you go to meganhillica.com and you can click there to watch that video, it is going to help you understand how to ease the pain and what's the best way to do that, even though I know it can feel like it's impossible and there's nothing that can help. I promise you there are things that can help. Go watch that video and learn more. So let's dive into my conversation with Hales. You've shared how the lens in which you view the world is different and how the color kind of disappeared from your world. Yeah. Can you just talk about that? Like, you've kind of been talking about that a little bit, but can you just share a little bit? Like, it changes everything.
Yeah. You know, I would say that I was always like a glass half full person, but like, probably also like a realistic pessimist, I guess. Like, I did prepare for like things to go wrong, but I did always believe that like things work out. You know, I think we all thought that like everything happens for a reason if it's meant to be. And now I'm like, I want to shoot that girl. But, you know, now after you have that change, I said, like, I feel like I'm colorblind, mm-hmm. like since Hayden died. And, or like, I'm living in that like really uncomfortable, like brown, like Sophia tone, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I get out of this really bad Western movie and just like come back color, you know, mm-hmm. like get me into like Willy Wonka. But it's weird because everything looks differently when your baby dies, because something that shouldn't happen to you and isn't supposed to happen did. Mm-hmm. So then I feel like your world flips completely upside down, and then you're living in that weird, like, it's like a paradigm shift, mm-hmm. almost. Like, you're in like an alternate universe. I would say that the things I used to care about that I would have deemed big things, like, don't even faze me anymore. And smaller things I find to be a bigger deal. It's hard not to view life as something that's more tragedy than happiness. And, you know, I'm still relatively early on in my grief. I know, you know, so many people tell me to get through year one. And I feel like that we need to stop saying that to mm-hmm. people, because year two has been a completely different ballgame for me, because I don't get to rely on the shock anymore. Mm-hmm. My reality has set in that, like, I am that girl whose baby died. This is my life. Now how do I move forward with it? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm starting to be open and have opened my heart to receiving more color, mm-hmm. you know, but I feel like I used to be someone that would color in the lines, you know, like OCD type, yeah. You know, and everything would be like perfect and pristine. And like, now I'm getting more comfortable with like the mess that is me, mm-hmm. and like honoring where my own heart is at as opposed to where I think it should be. And I think that we have these crazy expectations of human beings, but I think especially as women, we have these wild societal expectations of that we have to be like amazing at everything across the board. And I was totally that person. I was a workaholic. I mean, I worked like 80 hours a week. I loved my job. Like I checked all the boxes. I like lived in the matrix, like whatever you want to call it. And now I'm so unplugged from all of that. And now I want to like move to Montana and get like 30 acres of land. And I don't want to see anybody ever again unless I invite them, you know? And I think a lot of us, our lens on the world shifts because it's like all that shit's not important. Like, you know, I remember I built my registry like immediately. I was like ready for this baby. Like I was ready for Hayden like the day we found out. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had a spreadsheet. Like, don't even fuck with me. Like I was ready. And now it's like, none of that matters. Like even in something of like a pregnancy, you know, let's just like get everyone out alive. You know, like I just look at life in such a different way because I've been forced to. Mm-hmm. And that's something else you have to grieve. Like I don't plan for the future like I used to anymore. Mm-hmm. I've had to learn, and I think this seems to be pretty happening a lot, but like we're such a hyper productive society. Like you have to be like hustling, like whatever the kids are calling it, right? Mm-hmm. Like hustle and grind, and like I'm learning how to be still and be present and really appreciate and practice gratitude in those moments, you know, of not trying to focus on the past, stopping trying to control the future, and really just being able to sit with myself and how I'm feeling and, you know, physically, emotionally, energetically in those moments. And because I'm learning every day to try and be present, my view has changed because I no longer think about like, well, what if this happens in 2 years? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow and it really wouldn't make a difference. So I might as well try and live my life to the best of my ability now in a way that, you know, feels good for my heart, honors my daughter's life and her impact on me, and, you know, allow that color to splash in a more abstract way, mm-hmm. as opposed to fitting into the boxes that I had created for myself. Instead, it's more like splatter paint. And so, like, I'll tell my husband sometimes, like, I feel like I had a ray of sunshine in my life today. And I have, you know, after having griefy days, and I feel like as your grief evolves, and I hate the phrase, time heals, mm-hmm. all wounds, because like literally if that was the case, we wouldn't have like medicine and hospitals and all those things. But like, I think that time provides you the space to change your perspective and evolve how you feel. But I hate giving time the credit. Like, get the fuck out of here. This isn't like a high school group project. Like, you're not contributing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do that work as a human. Grief is a job. It's mm-hmm. a full-time job. It is a full-time job that you are paying for. Like, no one's paying you to grieve. Like, you're paying your therapist. Yeah. Like, I was paying my womb healer. I was paying my Reiki practitioner. I was paying my acupuncturist. Like, grief has cost a lot of money. On top of all of the medical bills, I mean, here in America, we don't care about women. So we, you know, so much money we've had to spend out of pocket, you know, but like, how do you not, I don't know how, I've yet to meet someone who doesn't feel like their life, their like lens on the world is different. Do you feel like your lens is different?
Than before? Or when?
Since before.
So yeah, like it's completely changed, just different. But I would say for me, my color is back in my life.
And I love to hear that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Like I have full color, but it's different. It looks different.
Right. It's almost like pastel-y, yeah, right? Like it's like muted a little bit.
It's like, I guess it's just the way when I talk about integrating grief into your life, it's like I live with grief now. I walk with grief the rest of my life. But for me, it's like, I know, like what you're saying, talking about gratitude and like taking those little moments and living in this moment. I think it can be a very challenging place to get to, and kind of like I kind of talked about it like no man's land. Like there's this place where you're like, you want to appreciate the moment, but you're also reliving the past and you're terrified of the future. And how do you get to this place where you can just be right here, right now, without being consumed by the future or the past? And I don't think there's any right or wrong way to go about it. It's just, for me, that has been to learn how to sit in this moment and be present in this moment and be grateful for this moment, because that's all I have. I don't have tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. My kids don't have tomorrow. My husband isn't guaranteed tomorrow, you know? So like, I don't know what the future is going to bring, but for me now, I'm like, I know I have learned how to live with this. And so anything else that comes in my life, I will know how to live with that as well. And so I'm not going to stress about it. I'm going to be right here, right now.
Right.
And live with what is my life right now. Because I don't know what it's going to be.
No, totally. And I was just telling a lost mama who I've gotten really close with, and we have like a personal relationship outside of Instagram. And so I'm in this really weird new phase of my grief, and it's like very unique. And I'm calling it like it is what it is. I feel everything still so much while also feeling nothing. And I'm trying to find that middle ground of it without like the intense pendulum swings back and forth. I feel like so much of the beginning is that. Like, you don't, you know, up is down and down is up, and you don't know what's going on. But then once you force yourself, I had to force myself to sit in the moment, in the present, and allow my feelings to come up and my emotions to exist in on a plane that was more physical, right? As opposed to suppressing them down of like, I'm fine. I wasn't fine. I wasn't okay. And that's hard. It's hard to let yourself feel when you've been taught your whole life, not that you shouldn't feel, but that like, do that in a corner. Like, don't be big. Don't feel too much. And as women, don't be too emotional. Don't be naggy. Don't share. Like, no, I'm going to take up space, and I'm going to let my feelings come to the surface, because if I don't acknowledge them, I can't honor that they're there. And I can't learn how to release and let go if I'm not even acknowledging that they're in existence. And that took a long time. And that's, I think, like a life journey for all of us, learning how to come up. Because I think grief, the grief waves are different now than they were for me in the beginning. They're farther apart, but they come a little bit more aggressively. Almost as like a reminder of like, you thought you were doing good. That's cute. You know? You know? But I think I've gotten better at honoring them and not being critical of myself for feeling them. Because I think our own internal monologues and narrative can be the death of us as people. Because we'll get in our, you know, I'll spiral, you know, I got 99 problems. I probably made up 90 of them sometimes, you know, like your anxiety is a bitch. And it's a real thing. And when you start to question everything in your life after, you know, your baby dies, like, that's a hard game to play, you know, in your own head. And if you're not getting it out of your body, it's going to fester there, and it's going to come up in other ways that you don't want to be involved in. Like, you have to learn how to honor how you're feeling in that moment. Otherwise, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks in a completely different situation that you're not going to be very happy about, from my experience. Of suppressing
them. Yeah, I totally agree. And that's like exactly why I do everything I do, because that's what I do, is help moms learn how to feel their emotions.
And that's a big job.
It is.
That's a big job for you. And I'm sure that you have had to figure out how to have energetic boundaries around all of that, because you're a compassionate, empathetic person. Like, that radiates from you. I can from the screen, like, you're, or like, you are just flowing of like love and compassion. But that also means that you're a sensitive soul, and you want to help without taking it on. Right? Because you can't, it's like people don't take your work home. Like, it's very hard to not take this home with you and carry other people's, you know, trauma and loss and tragedy on your own heart, because you're a human that has a heart. You're not just like a robot behind a screen. You know, you're a person living your own grief experience. And I think people sometimes forget that you also walk this journey.
I guess for me, it's been a little bit easier because in the way that I know that you need to feel. Yes, and so for me, sure. It's a joy in a way to guide people through their feelings. So it doesn't really add weight to me. It's That's like great. This, like it, to me, it's like, you need to feel this. It's amazing that you're feeling this. It's a good thing, even though it's so hard. It's so painful. I know you don't want to feel it, but I know that this is the path that they need to go on. And so to be able to be a guide for them and help them is like a huge blessing to me. So it doesn't really weigh me down that much in that sense. And I guess maybe I've been able to put up good boundaries and whatever, but right. It's just, to me, it's so, such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. I agree with you.
It's, since I started Hey Lost Mama and talking to these different lost moms, you know, it is hard, to your point, to feel your feelings because it's a weird place to be in. Yeah. Because especially if you've never been like super depressed or like super angry before. And I always tell moms, like, have you screamed outside before? Like, you should go do that. I'm like, go to nature, your car, and scream at the top of your lungs. I was like, that release is a real thing. Yep. Crying, like, you know, whatever you need to do, finding a way to channel your grief. I like to write, I'm a journaler and I also scream. But it's, you know, I think everyone has to learn how to get those emotions out of their body to acknowledge their existence. And to your point, it is part of the journey. Mm-hmm. The longer you suppress and put off those feelings, the harder they're going to be to deal with if and when you're ready.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to come up in different aspects of your life.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, even when you deal with it, it will evolve. And that's hard to hear in the beginning because you're just like, fuck this, fuck the world. Like, my baby's dead. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, but it does change and you're never ready for that.
Yeah.
And I think that we sometimes forget to give ourselves credit of how far we all come, you know, and I think we mistakenly think that if we have like a setback or like we thought we dealt with something that it's like you're taking steps back. But I don't look at it that way. I think that you have opportunities as new situations arrive in your grief journey. Even the smallest reaction changes progress. Mm-hmm. And I think we just start raising ourselves up in a better way and other women up that we interact with of like, no, because when you're in those early grief days, you getting up and brushing your teeth, like, that is a victory. Mm-hmm. Moving from your bed to the couch, that's a victory. And those small steps, the small steps are what matter. You know, no one's taking big leaps in their grieving journey.
No,
no one's like, and then today I ran a mile and now I'm not mad anymore. You know, like, it's just not how it works. Like, you know, you have to walk that path and everyone's journey looks different. And you just hope that you're able to find people like you or another connection that walk with you and companion you through it and make you feel safe enough to feel as opposed to penalizing you for feeling too much.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and that's hard to explain to people that just want to fix it, that just want you to feel better. And you're like, this isn't how it works. It's like a magic pill I can take or like, you know, something I can go do that erases all of this. I have to walk with it. And as much as I wish Hayden was alive, I would never change it because I would never erase her from my life. And I've just chosen to walk my path with her in it and continue my relationship with her, even if it's not going to be on this physical plane.
Yeah.
You know,
even though it looks different than what you would have wanted it to look like.
It was not the motherhood. Yeah. That I thought I was going to have.
Yeah.
But I still think it's motherhood and it's a shame that not everyone views it that way, but you do parent your child in the stars or wherever you think they are. You do. They don't get erased from your life.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't. And if they do, that's your decision, but that's not what I will be doing.
Yeah.
Encouraging other people. If they ask my opinion, incorporate them in your life. Like they're your babies. Like they're your children. Like, I don't know. It's just, I couldn't imagine my life without Hayden. Even now, like, I've had to look at it as such a gift from her, mm-hmm. that I still feel so connected to her every single day.
Yeah.
Even though she's not physically here.
Yeah, that is a gift. And I just think of it as, I think you mentioned it earlier, but like carrying them forward with you. Like, you are not leaving them in the past. You're not forgetting or moving on. It's like they are there in your life every single day, and you don't forget them. And no matter, you know, how other people view it, or maybe other people forget or quote unquote move on, right, or whatever. But I do feel like we're taking a lot of time, and I really appreciate you being here. So I have a few more questions that I want to ask. You've been very, very easy to talk to and fun to talk with.
Oh, yay.
Can you share a little bit about the Hey Lost Mama community that you've created?
Yes. It was probably January of this year where I was like finally craving like connection, and because I didn't have anybody in my life that had been like close enough to it, who had gone through something similar, I was ready to talk to people. Like, I was very isolated for a while, and that was what I needed to do for me, mm-hmm. you know. And we had a bunch of people right after Hayden died get pregnant on accident, you know, of course, right? And they all had living baby girls, and thank God, you know, but it was a lot for us, and I was like, I need a fucking friend, mm-hmm. that can look at me, and I don't have to say much, but they know that my heart is shattered, mm-hmm. right? And I think I posted my first post, and it was healing with Hales at the time, and it was like the day someone had a baby girl, and I was like, fuck this, I'm done. I need to put myself out there. But it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary to put yourself out, mm-hmm. there. And that was back, I want to say, like, end of March, beginning of April. And I created Hey Lost Mama with the intention of, like, maybe I'll meet, like, 100 moms. Like, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. And maybe out of those 100 moms, I would, like, connect really well with 5 of them. And then, like, maybe one would live close where I could, like, hug them, mm-hmm. you know, or, like, buy them a drink or coffee or lunch, you know. And be able to have someone see my heart in the way that I want to see someone else's heart, mm-hmm. you know? And I have been humbled and honored to have Hey Lost Mama become a community and grow as fast as it has. And that's such a double-edged sword, right? Because every time I meet someone new, because I try and respond to every comment and every message, and I always want to know about your babies. That's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. Like, I that's why I created it. Like, I want that community feeling and that connection. But, like, it's tragic on that other sense, because you're like, oh my God, there's another person, mm-hmm. living without their baby or babies. And I just, Hey Lost Mama, I changed the name after I had a dream. Hayden always comes to me at dreams. That bitch wakes me up at 3:33 a.m. all the time. And I, like, furiously write down, like, whatever stream of consciousness is coming through my notes. And it was ever since I journaled when Hayden died, I would always write letters to myself, and I'd always start out with Hey Lost Mama, like, back to my journals from, like, 2021 when she first died. And I was, like, writing letters to no one, you know, just, like, getting my thoughts out. But, like, that's how I identified. Like, I'm still a mom, mm-hmm. but my baby's not here. Lost Mama worked for me. And in that dream, Hayden basically told me, like, make it a hashtag and change your handle. Like, that needs to be something that stays. And, like, serendipitously, there had been no hashtag for that yet, and no one had that as an Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, thanks, girl. And I genuinely don't even know how it became what it has. Mm-hmm. I've probably spoken to one-on-one probably 10,000 moms since April. And I am genuinely so in awe of the women and the men, but, like, women, we talk about it more than the men do. I'm so in awe of the fierceness of the women in this community. And I started it with just meeting, with wanting connections, and now I've gotten to watch this community blossom, and I've gotten to see other moms connect, and I've gotten to help facilitate that, or, you know, I'm not for everybody. Like, And I know that. I've always known that. Like, I'm a very blunt person. I cuss like a sailor. I will talk about things that other people deem uncomfortable. But I do think I made a promise to myself and to Hayden that I was going to go into Hey Lost Mama and with full transparency and authenticity, because it had to feel good for me. Like, I didn't want to force anything. Like, you know, I do all that myself. I make my, you know, it's all me, because I needed my energy and Hayden's to come through it, because I believe that she guides the moms and the babies who I'm supposed to connect with. Does that, if that makes sense? And, you know, it's been wild. Like, I'm so blown away by it. And truly humbled is the only word of, like, that people would even want to share their babies with me and share how they feel. And because it takes such vulnerability, you know, to, like, talk to a stranger on the internet, you know, like, you know, but it's just so beautiful at the same time that, like, somebody across the globe can be like, I hear you. I see you. I validate you. Like, and I think that's all at the end of the day, all of us want. We just want to be seen and heard. And I always tell people, and I talk about it openly, like, not everyone you meet is going to be your best friend. Like, not even in real life. Like, you're not going to agree with every lost mama you meet. You're not going to vibe with everybody. That's just not how humans work. You know, we wouldn't be in the predicaments that we are as a collective if we all could, you know, get along. So, but I do believe that your babies guide you to the people that are supposed to. And I have women send me the craziest stuff, like, where they see hummingbirds or a prickly pear cactus blossom is her other symbol for us. And just, you know, to see it evolve into a place that people feel safe. Never in my wildest dreams would I imagine it's become what it has in such a short amount of time. I haven't even had my page for a year. And I'm in awe. I'm in awe of the magic of Hayden, because it's her. I mean, she works through me, and, you know, but I don't even know how else to explain it, because I don't even have words for it, because I get on every day and I have so many messages, and I'm just like, how did I become someone that someone feels safe with? And for me, that's such an important thing, because you don't always have someone that makes you feel safe to express and to share or to validate. And I wish I could clone myself so I could, like, spend 24 hours on it and, like, help everybody or, like, be involved in everyone's lives. And, you know, I've always wanted to be in the business of lifting other women up. And this is, I guess, the way that I've found a purpose in doing that. Mm-hmm. And there's so much hate in the world and negativity and anger and all of those things. And I want people to know that that can exist, but you can also meet another person that can see your heart in a way that sometimes other people can't. And to have those kind of connections play out in front of me on Hey Lost Mama, I just don't even have words. It's like the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just doesn't feel real, you know, yeah. Like that women will be like, I've met so many moms because of your page, or thank you for saying something that I'm afraid to say. Like, thank you for saying this fucking sucks, because it does fucking suck. Like, thank you for telling me. I feel like Hayden works for me to allow people to, like, have permission to grieve the way that they want to. And not that, like, anyone needs my permission, but, like, sometimes you need to be reminded, mm-hmm, that, like, you get to do whatever you want with your grief. If that means you shared loudly, I salute you. If it means you don't share at all, I salute you. But being given permission to walk your journey in a way that's authentic to you, that's my goal with Hey Lost Mama, to create those connections, to have a community, and to make lost mamas feel like it's okay that they feel how they feel, mm-hmm, in that moment, and that their babies will never come back, because we can't bring them back, but that you have an option to walk with them in your life and honor them in a way that works for you without anyone else's approval.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
your family, anybody. And I just, it's been cool. I get just as much out of it as other people do, but it's hard.
Like, that's one thing I was going to ask you is, does it get challenging for you? Like, it's amazing and a gift, but is there a, you know, there's many times different sides of a coin, you know, and how is that affecting you in that way?
You know, I would say 90% of the time, it's very life-giving mm-hmm. for me. No, I've learned how to put boundaries around it, and I'm very honest. Like, if someone sends me a long, like, very long messages and I am not in a space, I'm honest. I will literally say something to the effect of, like, thank you so much for sharing your baby with me. I am not in a space to hold space for you because I'm having my own hard day, but I will respond to you. I'll flag this message and I'll get back to you when my heart is able to see yours in a way that is, you know, worthy of your baby. Mm-hmm. And I've never had anyone push back on that. And if someone did, I'd probably be like, you're clearly in a very rough place right now. I promise I'll get back to you. Yeah. But, like, you can't, right? You can only help. So what I've realized as my page has grown that I'm currently struggling with, if we're being honest, is that people forget I'm a human. Mm-hmm. That I too am a lost parent.
Yeah.
That I too am grieving, that I am trying to figure it out. And I've gotten more trolls and, like, people being mean than I ever have lately. And, you know, I'll respond to everybody with grace because I just don't have any, you know, but I always am just, like, I'm a person. I'm not just, like, this robotic mm-hmm. content creator, like, pumping out things for the Instagram algorithm.
Yeah.
Like, I was bawling this morning before I put makeup on for this call because, you know, like, but, like, I'm okay now. But people, I think, forget on social media that, like, you're only seeing a part of someone's mm-hmm. life. You know, a piece of it. And I think it's really cute that people think I have my shit together, and how awesome that I'm, like, portraying that. But, like, I try and be honest, like, I'm a shit show today, or, like, I'm not okay. But, like, it's honoring that mess. But that's been probably the struggle. And it's been newer mm-hmm. of, like, how could someone come, like, first of all, who's trolling a grief page? Mm-hmm. Like, I hope you have a therapist. We have bigger issues at hand. But, like, it always, I'm still a person, so, like, it does hurt my feelings, but then I have to acknowledge that, like, we've all projected before, we've all had, you know, we've all been there, but I do struggle with people forgetting that I'm also grieving, mm-hmm. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yeah.
I don't know if I articulated that well.
Yeah.
But.
No, that makes complete sense to me, and even just the fact that, like, you are a human, and that
right. Right. I'm a human being.
And, like, what people say can affect you. And, like, maybe the more, like, in a way, like, at least I've thought is for myself, is you're opening yourself up to having to do more mental work for yourself.
Oh,
you know, like, if you didn't do this, you wouldn't have to do all the mental work of, you know, dealing with people's comments and dealing with different things that are said or whatever. But then it's also so worth it too. So it's
so worth it. And, you know, I went off all social media when Hayden died mm-hmm. and I didn't go on any of it until after 8 months. And please stop. And I would have not, like, I applaud these mamas that, like, get on social media, like, after a month, because this bitch had no business. I was too much. For me, it wasn't, like, my journey. But I don't think if I didn't take those 8 months of, like, very deep inner work, mm-hmm. like, work with womb healers, like, shadow work, like, really turning my lens inward and facing that dark side of all of this, because you can't have the darkness without the light mm-hmm. as a person. And getting comfortable with my own negativity and intrusive thoughts and flaws and all those things, I would have never been able to share the way that I do, because I would have never been in a place where I felt confident enough to,
yeah.
I guess,
yeah.
because you do open up your heart. And I think that's why it does hurt my feelings mm-hmm. because I'm like, this is something I'm dealing with. That's a very real thing. And I'm opening up to you, but yeah, I'll take the 1 to 3 negative comments, because then I get 500 to 1,000 messages of, like, thank you for reframing that for me.
Yeah.
Or thank you for saying that out loud, because I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
And And I was sick of feeling like it was just me. Mm-hmm. So it is life-giving, and I've gotten to meet a couple moms in person, and they're like time is a construct, but like I really feel like it's a construct when you talk to another lost parent, because you're like, where'd all the time go? I just have never felt so seen, yeah. If that makes sense. And like, you know, the Hey Lost Mama Foundation, that's my whole thing is the retreats. I want to do in-person retreats because it's like, you can't replace that faith. Like the internet's beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful thing, but like, I wish that I could like reach across the screen and hug you and like buy you a coffee, you know? And like be able to just have that energetic exchange in the same room. And you know, the good outweighs the bad, mm-hmm. but I, you know, I'm a human, yeah. You know, you're human. We're people with feelings and emotions and grief and joy, and we're going to have our good days and our bad days too. And I think sometimes people put you on like a pedestal. Mm-hmm. That's kind of weird, but like, I don't want to be put on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. That's a long way to fall. Yeah. Like, keep me on the ground. Like, just because I'm openly sharing doesn't mean I'm okay. Yeah. Like, it means that I'm trying to get it out and hoping that you look at me and think it's okay.
Sorry, I keep having my kids interrupt us.
Honestly, I've been like stalking your page, and your kids are so cool, so I want to.
Hey, children. Oh man, I just, the one thing I was gonna say is that in person retreat, I just hosted my first one, and
I saw that was an amazing,
so amazing. So like what you're saying, there's nothing that you know like in person, or you know, I love that you can reach anybody anywhere all over the world. People can get support online and listen. It's so cool. You know, it's like so cool. Even like they can listen to my podcast by themselves. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to have anything besides a place to listen to a podcast.
I'm like, what a gift.
Yeah.
We didn't have that 20 years ago.
No.
Like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But then to have an in-person retreat is a whole nother. It really is. So I'm excited for you to do retreats, and
yeah, you
it's
can.
It's really amazing. That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are. I might have to split this episode into two because we're really.
Oh my gosh! What time is it? See, I could talk to you all day. I. It's so cool. Thank you so much for even asking. I hate to say this, but not everyone does because of my. You know, people want to share with me, but sometimes they don't. It's not reciprocated and doesn't upset me. It's like we're human, mm-hmm. but it's cool to be able to share about Hayden in a different way. I, you know,
yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. One question. I have some questions I ask at the end, but before we dive into those, I wanted to ask you if you have anything you want to share about Hayden.
Oh gosh. You know, how do I word this? I genuinely think that my daughter is pure magic. And I know that everyone thinks their kids are the best. And I think my daughter's the shit. And I genuinely feel like her impact on my life is so profound. And, you know, people probably think I'm nuts. But I talk to that girl all day, every day. She is such a beautiful and wise soul. And I am so honored that I get to share her with other people, and that when people say her name, like just the ripple effect of joy that goes through my body, like reverberates through. And it's, you know, when you can acknowledge that your child is pure magic, I think that's when you can open up your heart to that. I think that's when you get to know them in a completely different way. And for me, it feels like she is alive in so many ways. It's just not what I would have imagined it. And so I guess I wanted to say like, thank you to all the people that treat her that way, because she's so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for that. And, I just genuinely, I wouldn't be the woman that I am right now without her, even though that's come with so many trials and tribulations and tragedy and cuss words and therapy bills and all those things. But I really believe she's like this magical thing, and people are totally allowed to think I'm crazy, but she shows up and shows out every day. And if you ask her to send you a sign, that girl will do it. And she'll do it immediately. She doesn't like to waste time like me. She's like, let's get this party started. Like, don't doubt me. So believe their magic.
It's amazing. And thank you, for what a short life too. And how special she can be and amazing she can be. You know? Yeah. And the impact that she has had on your life and now on others because of what you're doing in her short life. And it's just, yeah, thank you for sharing.
Wow.
Thank you for coming on here, for sharing your story, for being an easy person to interview. And I just like, I'm like, I hope you're not like short on time or you got to leave because we are talking for a long time. So
No, this has been so wonderful. It's such a life and like soul giving conversation. So
yeah. So the last few questions, I guess. I'm going to dive into those. What's one thing you could offer to someone who is struggling and feels really alone in their pain?
Acknowledge where you are. Release your expectations of how you should be or how you should feel. And know that when you're ready to not feel isolated, there are communities and women out there who are willing to walk this journey with you. But in no capacity is there something wrong with you if that's not what you want yet. And if that's not something you're ready for. And know that all of us have felt that isolation, will feel that isolation. And it doesn't last forever, even though it fucking feels like
it will. I love that.
Like
that's very, very true. And I love how you, you know, encourage them to honor where they are. And that it's okay that they're there. I think sometimes when we are in a place where we don't even want to be around people, we start to wonder what's wrong with us or, you know, am I doing it right or wrong? And it's like, no, that's actually okay. It's okay that you don't want to be around people. Yeah.
There is no right or wrong. Expectations of yourself and others will literally be the death of you. And that's a hard lesson.
What is one book that has encouraged you and helped you?
Ooh, okay, so I read all of them, and I will tell you, they're not really for me. I think they've been beautiful, but they very much serve certain purposes, but I had a miscarriage by Dr. Jessica Zucker. That book changed my life. I read that immediately after Hayden died, and then I've read it a couple of times since, and I will say that her approach, her advocacy, her just general sense of being, I find her so inspiring and fucking amazing. And I've gotten to personally interact with her since having this page, and it was like a fangirl moment. Like, I was like, are we friends? Like, can we be friends? But like, when I get to talk to her, she probably knows this because I have told her I fangirled. But her book, I think every woman should read. She sent me a bunch for a give. I did a Halo Atomic giveaways during Pale, but and I'm like, even if you didn't have a miscarriage, you should read this book. Like, that book for me was such a turning point in so many cool ways. And so if I had unlimited funds, I'd buy it for everybody I know.
Yeah.
That book, for sure, 100%. And she's a wonderful human who has been through crazy shit even now. And I am in absolute awe of her. Forever fangirling.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. What's one thing that you've learned from going through this experience?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. There's so much that's not in your control. Mm-hmm. And you do everything right, whatever that means. And it's not always going to end up the way you wanted it to. And I think that as a blanket statement, for me personally, has applied to every single aspect of my grief. And once you figure that out, and I figure it out every day, it's like a new, like, groundhog's day. You know, once you acknowledge that so much is not in your control, I think that's where the change starts to happen.
Yeah.
Because then you get to focus on what you can, and that's you, mm-hmm. your heart, your actions, your reactions, your perspective, you know, and being able to honor where you are, meeting yourself there and not feeling shame about it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's all, as a recovering control freak, it's hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Hayden's death, you know, life and death, was a big eye-opener for me of how much I can't control. And Hayden reminds me of that every day when I spiral, if I spiral, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know. Is it in your control? Probably not. And that's a hard thing to come to terms with when you already feel like so many of your life decisions were made for you because your baby died.
Yeah, totally. It's already, you've lost control of so many things. And so I think our initial reaction is to try to control, you know, because we're like, oh my gosh, I'm losing control of everything.
What can I control?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But like, really, baby, when your baby dies, it's kind of the equivalent of like a dumpster fire, like running downhill on like a San Franciscan street, like super steep, like that shit's just gonna go. So like, buckle the fuck up. I mean, and bring snacks.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna get, it's gonna be crazy, you know, and you can't control it. And
yeah.
That's hard. That's a hard thing. Control is such a human want and need.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel like everything has been taken from you or changed and you didn't choose it, you latch on to that more in different weird ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But learning that has made my life easier, because then I'm not consistently disappointed by humanity in the same way that I was before.
Yeah, totally.
Or myself.
That makes sense to me in my life as well. I get that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, thank you, Hales, for coming on. It has been a great pleasure to talk with you and to hear your story.
No,
and
you're so lovely.
How can people connect with you and follow mm-hmm. along your journey with you?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so you can find me at Hey Lost Mama on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm most active on Instagram. Like, I cannot figure out Facebook to save my life. Not even ashamed to say that. Like, Instagram is my millennial heart. I am in the middle of changing my website over, but it will be heylostmama.com. And then the Hey Lost Mama Foundation is my nonprofit. So that will be officially launching in January. So okay. That's where
exciting.
You can find me.
Yeah.
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 I feel really called. So, you know, I'm going to do the best I can and, you know, let the magic happen.
If you like this podcast and have found it helpful, I want to invite you to come check out Grieving Moms Haven. This is my monthly community for grieving moms, where you can learn positive coping mechanisms, find a safe space with others who understand, and learn lifelong skills that support you as you learn how to carry this weight of grief in your life. There are group coaching calls where we do guided meditations, tapping meditations, breathwork, and just talk. Knowing that everyone in the group is also walking the path of child loss. You can come check out Grieving Moms Haven at www.grievingmomshaven.com.